Amen. Praise God. Aren't you glad you're not God? Aren't you glad I'm not God? Amen. You know, we can have bad days. We can have, you know, bad weeks. We can wake up with an attitude. We can be grumpy and things. I mean, He's just the same all the time. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking in that prayer service, you know, one of the things that keeps us out of His presence, because that's where our help is just, you know, wrong thinking towards ourselves, you know, condemnation, and we're not good enough, and we screw up so much. And His take is, I washed you in the blood, you know, I gave you my Son because I knew you weren't good enough. Hallelujah. Don't let that keep you from being in my presence. So He's just so sweet. Even when we screw it up, He's still so good. But hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. I sent out that slick text so you know what direction we're headed. I'm thrilled about this. We're starting a new series, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. These things had been on my heart for months and months, and I knew that a series was coming, and it just kind of was marinating, you know, and in the way I used the example last week, which, you know, I know you moms think that didn't really have, it doesn't compare at all, but I said it's kind of like the conception and, you know, having the baby growing on the inside and giving birth, and trust me, I get it. It's not the same. I know, Mom. I know, ladies. But, you know, the idea where it was conceived in my heart and it grew, and then delivery day, you know. And so I'm thrilled because God is always trying to bring us higher. And, you know, I was thinking about this, that He spoke clearly to me. You know, each minister will kind of have to find their own lane, you know, to what how does God use you? What's I don't want to use the word specialty, but it's kind of like that, you know. And He told Brother Hagin years ago, I've called you to go teach my people faith. And, you know, there was other things He talked about, but the vast majority was Brother Hagin talking about faith. And, you know, I went to Brother Hagin's funeral and his wake, and in the casket there, open Bible was to Mark 11, 23 and 24. I mean, that was just what he was known for. You know, his Bible was there. And not that I'm Brother Hagin, but God, that's the same thing God told me that I would major in. The first thing He said was major in faith and in love. And you know, one thing that's been noted about our churches that's been said by ministers that come in and people that visit is that we are a loving bunch, amen? That we love on one another, and it's an area we need to major in. But the first thing was in faith. And so, you know, when I was meditating on this and just today, so He reminded me of what He said to me. And so it shouldn't surprise me when He puts it on my heart, amen? Hallelujah. Shouldn't surprise me. Charlie, are you okay, brother?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay, I want to make sure, I don't know if I need to come back there and lay hands on you now. Come on, let's do it. Come on up, brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jake, come on up. Hallelujah. Mighty man of God, Charlie and Mary, of course, mighty lady of God, just done wonderful things for the Lord. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, there's nothing allowed to be in this man's body that does not line up with Your word. And Father, He's a man of faith. He's a man of the word. He's a man of the anointing. So we command anything that's out of order, anything trying to come against Him, we say get off Him now. That's in right. The name of Jesus, right. From the top of His head to the bottom of His feet, be free, brother. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, that's got to go. That thing's got to go. It's got to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so when the Lord said to preach another faith series, but it's almost like a different angle of how He's given it to me. And someone had mentioned last week, this will be another chapter in the faith book. I have a faith book that's pretty much written. I just have not had the release to get it out. Well, this series might become a whole book, you know, you never know. But anyway, so we're teaching on faith. But in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, we're going to get to that as soon as we pray. Father, help us tonight to receive what You want from us. Father, we need Your help. We want heaven tonight. We are not looking for man's plans or man's ideas. Father, speak through me. Lord, I mean that with all my heart. I know who I am. I know my faults. I know my failures. We need the anointing tonight. And so, Father, I thank you that as I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, I thank you that everything that you want said, everything that you want done in this service will be done, will be accomplished. And Father, we'll make sure to give you the praise. We'll make sure to give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Let me just adjust something here real quick. Praise God. Okay. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, now this series, I think I put it in the slick text if I remember, it's called The Enemies of Faith. And we'll look at that here. You'll see what I'm talking about. But in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. And so notice the Bible says here, we're going to look at this verse here real quick, but notice the Bible says that it's a fight of faith. Amen? It's a fight. And, you know, one of the things I had to quickly wrap my mind around is that sometimes when you become a Christian and you are actually contending for the things of God, it's almost like opposition and the fire can get turned up hotter than when you weren't even a Christian. And the reason that is because now we're in a place where we can receive things that we've never been able to receive before, that we can grow and increase into things that we've never been able to, that will be a blessing to us and our family and those around us, but also to the body of Christ. And there's a true, real life enemy out there that does not want that. You know, the more steps we take for God, it's the more of his kingdom, that the devil's kingdom, that gets pushed back. And so there's opposition. And the Bible says that in this faith that we are going for, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God. We talk about faith, but we have to recognize there's going to be a fight. Amen. And I mentioned last week, you know, I'm not much of a fighter. I don't really enjoy fighting, you know, and I've only been in three or four fights my whole life, and they all involved Pastor Tim Stallman. There's three of them. Two of them we went to blows. One of them he stabbed me with a knife, and another one we tag team a guy that was twice the size of both of us and just went after him, you know, when we were kids. And so, but in those fights, it wasn't just somebody laying down and just, you know, not punching back and not hitting. And, you know, when a football team kicks off and the guy that catches the ball and runs, they don't stop and stand in amazement when they see people trying to tackle them. They understand to get to where they need to go, there's a battle, there's a struggle. And we have to understand that there is a battle, there is a struggle. And we'll get to a second, because this isn't doom and gloom, this fight, because remember, he says it's a good fight. Yeah. Amen? Well, I don't know about you, but you know, good fights aren't fights that I have no chance in. Good fights aren't fights where I'm going to lose. That's not a good fight, but it is still a fight. And we have to recognize that there's a pressing, there's opposition, there's a reaching. These are some of the terms the Bible uses: a pressing, a reaching, an endurance, a patience that's there. And so there's a fight, there is a struggle, amen. And but here's the thing with that term up there: it says it's a good fight. And one of the reasons it's a good fight, we don't need to turn there, is because when you fight this fight of faith and you come out victorious, it leads to something. Just like, you know, when you're in a wrestling match or a heavyweight match or a football team in the Super Bowl, there's a trophy, there's a gain, there's an increase to be had with winning that. Well, the same thing comes from this fight of faith. What's the increase? What's the trophy? It's the promises of God. You know, Hebrews 6 and verse 12, we know this verse: be not followers of them that are slothful, but followers of them. It says, follow those that who through faith and patience. Well, if they went through faith, they also had a struggle. There were things that came against them, and they did. You read about these people. But when they fought that fight and did what God said to do in that fight, they came out on the other side in the promises of God. They increased. They found themselves in a place that they were never before. And so why is it a good fight? Because the prize is worth the fight. Amen. You know what's awesome about God, and there's eternal life to look forward to, but there's also a natural life. And I'm so thankful that God is not just interested in my eternal life. That God said, okay, you're saved now, to heck with you until you get up here. No, he says, I'm giving you this force called faith. You do know that faith, you're not going to need faith for victory up in heaven. That is your victory. You're there. The opposition's gone at that point. And so he's talking about faith here for this earth. But why? So we can enter into things now. But it's a fight. But it's worth the fight because it's worth what's on the other side of that. Amen. But also, if you turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, hallelujah, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. The other reason it's a good fight, see, when you're going through this, at times the thoughts of quitting, the feelings of quitting are so loud, and it's like, man, it was easier. It's kind of like, I've heard ministers talk, and I've experienced it myself, and especially starting new churches and progressing in things of God. The opposition that comes against them, you know, I'm going to be sharing a little bit tomorrow in South Dayton. It'll be part two of this series about starting that church in South Dayton. And I'll tell you what, it was like the hell that got turned up in my life. And the thought is, man, life was a lot easier before I did this. Or when I started this church on top of another church, you're like, boy, life was a little simpler when I didn't do this. Well, it's because there's a great prize to be had. And the enemy's trying to keep you from that great prize. But here's the other reason this is a good fight. In 1 John 5 and verse 4, it says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So this verse tells us here that if we'll operate in faith and fight this fight of faith, the outcome is already predetermined. Amen. It's already predetermined. What is the predetermination? You win. You win, glory to God. Now, why is that important to get that on the inside of you? Because when you're in that fight, I'll tell you what, there's times it does not look like you're winning. And it might not look like you're winning. I used the example last week of there was a big notorious boxing match last Saturday night, and a heavyweight match. And the heavyweights, you know, there's something about the atmosphere in those fights and things from years ago, getting pay-per-views with my cousins and things, and watching Mike Tyson fights and Oscar De La Hoya fights. But it seems something about like the heavyweights, there's just something about it. And these two guys went after each other, and the guy that ended up winning the fight, he got knocked down a few times in that fight. And in that moment, it probably feels like, and it certainly looks like, you're in trouble. That it's not going to turn. And how many of you know, when you're not able to pay your bills, and you're believing to get onto the victory side of abundance, or you're looking for healing, and you're up at night because you have symptoms in your body, and the doctors are telling you things are getting worse and worse and worse, how many of you know, if you don't have it in you, that faith, operating in faith, that it's predetermined that you win, you're going to struggle. Yes. Amen. You're going to struggle, and it won't help you. You'll tend to quit. You'll tend to lose hope. You'll tend to be discouraged. And you know, I mentioned this about predetermined fights. That you know, one of the biggest letdowns I ever had as a kid was finding out that it was WWF back then, World Wrestling Federation, that the WWF was staged. Wasn't that a sad day for all of you when you've realized? I mean, they're athletic and they no doubt take lumps and things like that, but the winner is already determined. Well, how do they get that winner? They just have to walk that thing out, right? The winner just has to go in there and walk it out. Okay, this is what we're going to start. This is what we're going to do throughout the match. Just walk it out, and they walk out the winner, the predetermined winner. You're already the predetermined winner in everything you're facing. But we don't approach things that way. How do I know? Well, this COVID thing has, I believe, been a wake-up call for the church, you know, for the body of Christ. And, you know, you hear so many things out of people's mouths. Well, what if this? What if that? Well, we don't have to live on what ifs because the Bible already tells us we win. You know, the devil might strike a blow here and there and strike a blow, but doesn't mean we don't win. We still win. We still overcome, praise God. And so it's important that we recognize that we are the winner, praise God, if we just walk out this fight of faith. But like in any fight, whether it's Pastor Tim Stallman, whether it's, you know, Andre the Giant, whoever your opponent is now, you know, whether it's who the Bills play on Monday, the Titans, you know, whoever that opponent is, in every battle, there's an enemy. There's opposition, right? That's why it's a battle. And the thing that God had put on my heart for months and months, I've been studying about and looking at different things and seeing, oh my gosh, how people put their faith in these things and how these things are so loud. There's enemies to faith that God has really been showing me in the Word and pointing out to me and wanting to bring out to you, because we need to expose these enemies. And we need to see them for what they are, because these enemies can be so real to us. Touch them, see them, hear them, feel them, you know, just be tormented by them. And we can't get to a place where we're so bogged down by these things that our faith gets pushed to the side, because we won't receive. And I'll show you that in a second. But here's the enemies that God has put on my heart. And what these enemies do is they attempt to trip us up in walking out the victory. And the enemies to our faith are these things. There's five of them. Sight, and I'll read them again if you're a note taker. Sight, hearing, feelings, thoughts, and time. Let me read it again. These things will trip up your faith. Things you see, sight, things you hear, you're hearing, how you feel about things, your feelings, thoughts you're getting, and also time or the calendar going by and patience. These things will trip your faith up. They are absolute enemies to your faith. And when you're in a faith battle, when you entered the arena or entered the ring of faith, whether it's, okay, I'm taking this sickness head on. Okay, this issue with my children, this issue with my work, this issue with my body. You know what? I am once and for all going to step into that faith ring, get in faith until my victory comes to pass. You have to understand that these five things are going to rear their ugly heads at you in this to attempt to persuade you off of what you're believing and to put your faith, your attention, your all your being into these things, and that will cause you not to receive. Amen? And here's the thing about it. In some of these trials, they it's like becomes like a Royal Rumble. Do you know what the Royal Rumble is? It's where they can all just go at each other at one time, you know? There's tag team matches, right? You got to tag the other guy in, and there's single matches, but then there's the Royal Rumble. I mean, they just calling people in, and they're just all going at it. It's like, okay, you start out against an opponent, and then you hear over the loudspeaker, and now entering the ring, Jimmy Superfly Snuka! He was one of my favorites. And he comes running, and now you're battling him. And then Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. Does anybody know who I'm talking about here? Julie, anybody else? Grammy Tammy. I mean, y'all know who I'm talking about here. Some of you. Anyways, that was my childhood, you know? And so then you're battling them. It's like, okay, I'm stepping into the ring with the sickness battle. I'm stepping into the ring against this financial thing. Okay, oh, now sight has stepped in, and sight is fighting me and telling me, and then all of a sudden coming running down with his shirt off, because they all have their shirt off there, you know, and then come running off with their shirt off, is something you're hearing that's contrary. And then all of a sudden, the feelings come running down, ripping up their robe and jumping in, and then the calendar's in the ring beating the heck out of you. Right? Yeah. Come on, it's true, and they all just come after you. But here's the thing. Go to James chapter 1 and verse 6. James chapter 1 and verse 6. Oh, you brought me back to the glory days. I should say I brought myself back there. Man, I'll tell you, WrestleManias. Oh, they were a big event in the Anderson home. Dad would rent those things on pay-per-view, and we would just, I mean, a house full of people. My seat was always back on the piano bench, because back there I could be as loud and move around as much as I want and not get in trouble from Grandma. She couldn't see me back there, you know, and just those were big, big deals. And now I'm thinking about WrestleMania and all the toys I had. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about the toys I had when I was younger. Wouldn't it be nice if we'd be like in Back to the Future, we find the magazine back then where you can tell you all the outcomes of everything. A Super Mario video game that it hadn't even been opened from way back just sold for millions of dollars. that was an unopened Super Mario Bros. You could get them by the dozen back in the 80s. Just sold for millions. And some of those wrestling action figures, if I'd have never opened them, oh my gosh, they'd be worth so much today. Hallelujah. But in James chapter 1 and verse 6, look what the Bible says here. Let him ask in faith. So the verse before talked about asking for something. It was wisdom, but it's talking about anything from God. You have to ask in faith. Now then it's going to tell you, what does that mean? What does that look like? Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed with the wind. For let not that man, now look at this, let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Now, he says, the way you are in faith is there's no wavering, right? Wavering man, wave of the sea, won't receive anything. But then in verse 8, it gives us the definition of a waverer. So what does that mean to waver? Well, verse 8 tells us, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And what did the Bible say about a double-minded man? They can't receive anything. Now, what does that look like in terms of the enemies of faith? Well, let's just be honest about this, and let's examine ourselves and judge ourselves. Let's just say that we are stepping into the ring against the physical condition that's come against our body. And the doctors have said to us, they said, do you see this result on this MRI? Do you see the result on this blood test? Do you see the result on there? The numbers or the bone structure or what the graph is showing is that you have this. And so it's telling you that, okay, well, Bible says I'll heal all your diseases. There's nothing that's too big for God to heal. So, bam, okay, you're believing healing. You stepped in. But now you go to the doctor and he's showing you true life medical reports that are not false. They are as real as the day is long. And you see them. Okay, so now you have an enemy to your faith. You have sight telling you you are not healed and not going to be healed. And then they use terms like what? Incurable and impossible. And how many of you know? These are not false terms. That is what they know. That is what the natural is saying. And that's what they're operating in. They're not being false. You know, to sit there and argue with your doctor, it's foolish. You're making yourself look like a fool. Because a lot of doctors and nurses, they don't operate from a standpoint of God's laws. They have to operate from the natural laws and help people. Well, don't sit there when your doctor says, this is what's coming. Oh, no, I don't, doctor. I'm the healer of the Lord. It's all blah, 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 do. And you're like, no, don't be one of those people. You know, just keep it to yourself. Say, okay. I mean, if you feel led to, you know, testify, I'm saying, don't argue with them and tell them, no, you're wrong. The Bible says I'm healed. That's foolishness. Amen. Sometime I just want to have a class of Christians not being an idiot. Sometimes Christians can act like idiots, right? And just turn people so off from it. Speaking just the way they speak and just the way they act and put people off, you know. And like one of the things that would be on there is, as a Christian, you ought to be a good tipper. You represent the King, you know. And I remember one time going into a restaurant, and I don't know why this one came up, but someone must need to hear this, you cheapskate. Yeah. Who are you out there? Come on. I went into a restaurant one time, and the girl was talking with the guy I was with, and she said, you know, she said, he's out trying to get a date with her. He said, oh, let's go out this weekend. She said, come on, let's go out Saturday night. She said, no, I got to be up early to work Sunday morning. And she said, you know, it's the busiest day of the week. And I said, oh, well, at least you'll probably get your highest tips on Sunday, you know, having to work Sunday with the many people. She goes, no, it's actually the day of the week I get the least amount of tips. I said, what? She goes, yeah, all the church people come in. They don't hardly leave a tip. I said, oh, good Lord. That's not someone that's ever going to want to go to church or run to the things of God, you know. But that's going to be in my class. How not to be a Christian idiot. I know that's kind of crude, but I'm just, you know, that's kind of the way I am sometimes. But anyway, so now you have sight telling you. Well, here's what a double-minded person does. Okay, I saw what the Bible said about healing, what I could have. I saw that report. Now I got the doctor's report. Well, double-minded is, okay, Pastor Mike just preached on healing. I'm walking out of here. I'm the healer of the Lord. Don't care what I feel. Don't care what I see. Don't care what I think. Don't care how long it's been. I'm the healer of the Lord. The Bible says so. But now the report comes and now there's evidence there. Or it could be, what's another one of the enemy of faith? Feelings. The symptoms get worse. Right? Or time starts going by longer. Or thoughts of how you're never, because remember, thoughts is another one. Thoughts of how it's never going to. Right? Or you're hearing from people that talk around you say, ah, you're never I had this too, and this so-and-so had this, and they never recovered from it, and this is how their life was. And so you have all these things. Double-minded is you talking, thinking, acting anything outside the boundaries of what he said. If you sit there and lay in bed and meditate on how you're always going to have to take that medicine and never going to feel different from this, you are double-minded. If out of your mouth comes, this is never changing for me, it's been so long, anything other than speaking the word about it, double-minded. Amen. Come on. It's the truth. And what these things do is sight is so loud, the hearing is so loud, the feelings are so loud, the thoughts are so loud, and the time frame or the calendar can be so loud. Why? To get so loud for you to turn your attention from the word and put it onto those things and to have your faith in what you see. How many of you know people have faith in what they see? People have faith in what they hear? People have faith in the thoughts that they're getting? They say, well, the calendar said, it's been years, I can never have it because the calendar said so. Well, you're believing the calendar now over you're believing the word of God. Well, I feel a certain way, and it's real. The sender's here. The financial report says it right there on the calculator, and people put their faith in that. My paycheck says that. God said I could have this, but my paycheck only says I can have this. Well, if you believe your paycheck, you're double-minded. Or you might just be singly minded into doubt and unbelief and then not receive it all anyways. But you can't be double-minded. You have to be single-minded. Single-minded, single-focused on a certain thing. Amen? Now, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 is going to tell us what it is. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. So these things show up to get us to believe in them. Now, here's the danger with these things and why this takes work. How many of you know it's not hard to see? You just open your eyes. It's easy to look at something that I don't have to try to see. It's easy to hear, right? I just live my life and things can come into my ears. You'll be sitting there and have thoughts you didn't even know about, right? The thoughts will start bombarding. You didn't do anything to ask for these thoughts. Bam, you're just being bombarded about how it's never going to change and how this and what's it going to look like and imagination start coming. You didn't have to work for it. They just bam came into you. How many of you know when you have symptoms or the feeling of oppression, you don't have to work for those things. It's just easy. You just wake up and feel sick. You just wake up and feel that oppression, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. And the calendar time, we just, from what I just said, the calendar time, we already went past and time passed. It's just easy for things to keep dragging on and dragging on. Why? You just wake up and live and a whole nother night went by and your change hasn't come. And then you go to sleep again and a whole another night again, and time just constantly testifies against you, and you didn't have to do anything about it. Time was just there. And so it's easy to our flesh and mind to fall into faith in these other things because these other things are so easy and easily accessible and easily pressed against us. But our answer, because again, to be focused on these other things is wrong, to be focused on the right thing, it takes some work. And in 1 John 5 and verse 14 says this, "This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." You can stay on this verse, Grammy Tammy. Stay in verse 14. But verse 15 says, "If we know he hears us, we know we have." So the way we get us to have is for him to hear us. Well, the way we get him to hear us is by asking according to his will. Well, his will is his word, either the written word or the word in your spirit, right? And so the thing that brings us the confidence or that we have the faith in is one thing and one thing only. Because the only reason we can ever stand up in the midst of a sickness or a financial thing or with our family or oppression or pressure and be confident that we're going to come out the other side is because God said so. If God spoke in his word that it was his will, I want you to be sick, well then when sickness would come on my body, I would have no standing or no confidence to believe for healing because the will said otherwise. But when the will says you can have it, that becomes our grounding. That becomes the thing we grab onto. And the thing about the word that is so different than these other things is the Bible calls the word spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit. Well, in the spirit realm, you can't see it. And a lot of times the word of God, especially if it's spoken to our heart, you don't see anything. There's a level of trusting that, of having faith that you heard right. But also the written word of God, naturally speaking, I'm not belittling the Bible. You know my love for the word and what this book represents. But it can become to our flesh and mind nothing more than letters on paper. And letters on paper at times do not compare to what you see. They do not compare to what you're feeling. They do not compare to the things you're hearing or the thoughts you're having or what the calendar's saying. And the calendar and what you're seeing, hearing, feeling, and thinking can be so much more real than Philippians 4:19. Your bills that you can touch and see numbers and your paycheck that's not enough, for some reason, can be so much easier and louder and real than my God will supply our needs when you're in that. And so because of that, we tend to gear our, well, my paycheck said this, so that's what I believe. But the word's saying something different. And so what's meant to carry us to our victory is the word of God. So when it's talking about being single-minded, remember what a double-minded man gets? Nothing. What's a double-minded man? Having your faith in two different directions. You can't have that. You can't walk out of here in faith for finances, go home and see your bills, and start speaking doubt and unbelief. You are double-minded. You will not receive. That's why it's so vital to have faith. Our answer only comes through faith. And how many of us would be honest to say that in the tests that we're going through, you know, if you look back at Abraham, and we'll look at him in a little bit, a victory for Abraham. But before that victory came with that baby, if he was honest, he would look back and say, there were plenty of times, space and time, I really was not in faith. We know it. He laughed at God. They went outside the boundaries of God because they didn't think they could do it with him and Sarah and make a baby, so they brought in someone else. I mean, his actions showed they weren't in full faith. How many of us could say that even maybe in the tests that we're in or victories we've come out of or tests we're in right now, you know what? I've been double-minded in that. I know I can. I absolutely can. Where the calendar has discouraged me or the way I felt or the word I could see or things I heard or the thoughts I came, and then I started speaking wrong, and then my rejoicing went away and my praising went away, right? Because when you're in faith, you're rejoicing as well. There's joy when you're in faith. And joy in believing, the Bible says, joy in your believing. If you're believing, there's also going to be accompanied with joy. When the joy's gone, something's creeped in, and now your attention, your faith's on something else. That's why you're not in joy anymore. Maybe you have your faith in the calendar, or your faith in the symptoms, or your faith in what you see. And we've all been there. But that's not how you get to the end. We have to stay single-minded and focused on what God has said. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 verse 1 kind of points this out as well, as it says, faith is the substance of things we've hoped for, the evidence of what we can't see. And, you know, that specifically talking about can't see, but these other enemies of faith, you know, the calendar, the feelings, they're just different realms of the sense realm. But the example came to me this way, you know, there's one thing that's to carry us to victory, God's word. God gives you a promise in the face of your circumstances. He tells you, you have faith in this and this only. I don't care what you see, I don't care what you hear, I don't care what you feel, don't care the thoughts you're getting, and I don't care what the calendar's saying. And that's what we're going to look at over the next however many weeks it takes to get this done with, each and every one of these things, and show you in the word that these things reared their ugly head and it didn't matter. See, your promise coming to pass hasn't, what you see, I don't care how real it is, how harsh it is, how opposing it is not indicative of what you can have. Your symptoms or what you're feeling is not the tell-all of what you can have. The calendar, I don't care how many years it's been, is not the tell-all of what you can have. It's not, but they get so loud that they try to become the tell-all. They want you to put your faith in them. We can't do that. And I used this example that came to me as I was meditating on this. I don't know about you, but when I get to an intersection, and say maybe it's kind of a you know, sometimes it's not comfortable to turn your head and to look. And let's say you have someone, and let's say for me, if I have the person I trust the most on planet Earth in the vehicle with me, and I come to an intersection, and you ever just casually out of your mouth say, "Is it okay?" Right? I know for me, doesn't matter what comes out of their mouth, I still find myself, for me anyways, maybe it's not with you, I still find myself glancing, looking anyways, right? You know, pulling out and kind of just giving a look. Something. Why? Because seeing is so much louder and appealing to my flesh than a word. The word is what? You're okay. Well, I'm talking about someone I trust that has eyes that would know, you know, that know how to look and see and would not lead you astray and cares about their own life. And someone could tell me, and they could be right 100 times out of 100 times, but I'm still for myself. Well, God will never lie to you. His word is his will. This is as good as it coming out of his mouth. And if he said healing is yours, if he said prosperity is yours, if he says you can have a baby, if he says you can have a spouse, if he says you can get free from this, if he says you can have this, whatever it is, if he said it, that's his word. It's true, praise God. But just like these natural examples, when we see the calendar, have the feelings, have the thoughts in our head, hear the things in our ears, see with our eyes, it's so much easier to want to get confirmation from those things. And when those things don't give us confirmation, that word's not good enough for us. It's not good enough for us. But the word has to be good enough for us. Because the confidence we have, he said sight's not your confidence. Didn't he say sight? He said the confidence you have in me is my will, which is my word. You can't be confident in what you see. Because it's not the tell-all. And what we're going to see in this series is what you see is real. It's really what you can see. Tomorrow, that's the first one we're looking at tomorrow on South Dayton, is sight. And it's amazing in the Bible, you know, some of these things that were so real. And God said, it doesn't matter. I don't care what you see. I don't care what you see. What I say is the final answer. The final authority is not what you can see with your eyes. It's what my word said. Praise God. In the short time we have left, go to Mark chapter 4. I want to look at an example of failure and an example of success with these things. And they both came down the same thing. One put their faith in the enemies of faith. They were loud and it coerced them into believing them. And then one was able to get to a place where the word was louder than what they saw. The word was louder than what they heard, felt, thoughts, and the calendar. Praise God. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, it says the same day. Mark 4, 35. The same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Well, remember, in every test and trial, the answer out of it is what? The word. The word is your confidence. The word is, how can in your sickness you even be confident? The word. How in your financial things with your kids, things in your life, how can you be confident? The word. The word. The word is your confidence. And so Jesus, opening his mouth, gave them a word for the trial they were about to enter. They didn't know it at the time, but we know now, being on the other side of this word and in this story, that this was the word to get them through their trial. The Savior said, we're not stopping in the middle, we're not drowning, we're not turning back, we're going right now to the other side. Okay? That's what he says, and you all know the story. And when they had sent away the multitude, verse 36, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Here they are, professional fishermen, some of them on the water. The boat's filled up. It's beginning to sink. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? So we know their take, their perspective was, it's so bad, we're not making it out of this. Right? Now, imagine that kind of a storm. Imagine the enemies of faith and how loud and real they would be. What they would be seeing would be telling them something different than what Jesus said. Jesus said, other side, sight would say, you're dying. Things coming in their ears would have been a lot louder. What would have been? Panic. Oh my gosh, we're going to die. What do we do? We've never been in this before. We're not going to make it. All those thoughts, what they heard would have lined up with the situation, not what the word said, right? Imagine the thoughts they would have got bombarded with on that boat. Imagine how they would have felt on that boat. And every second that went by, the time with the boat rising and filling with water, was 1 second closer to being dead. All the enemies of faith reared their ugly head. And what did they do? Master, we're dying. They flushed. They must have thrown the word overboard with all the other stuff. The word that was in, they must have thrown that overboard because Jesus said, we're going to their side. But what did they say? We're not going to their side. We're dying. Right. Where was their faith? In what they saw. Yeah. And what they heard, what they felt, the calendar, and the thoughts that they were having. That was their faith. Their faith was not the other side. If their faith was the other side, it would have been, they'd had to do some work, and you know they would have had to been on the ball with it, but it wouldn't have been, we're dying. No, no, we're getting their side. This is hard, this is tough, but Jesus said, we're going to make it. Yes. Come on, guys, we're going to make it. Let's go. We're not giving up. Let's go. Come on. Yeah. Wasn't there. Why? Because they showed where their faith was. Our faith is in dying. Well, what led them to believe they were dying? Not the word. The enemies of faith led them to believe that they're dying. And thank God they had somebody in that boat that believed the word more than the enemies of faith. But that's what we do, isn't it? We're in our storm. And the symptoms are getting worse. The boat's filling up. The finances are getting worse. The time's going by. Things are going wrong with our children. It's going wrong. And so what happens? We have a choice. Are we going to believe what God has said? Or are we going to believe time? And are we going to believe what we hear and what we see and put our faith in that and then start speaking? It's never changing. It's so hard. This always happens to me. I'm never getting out of this. Why me? No rejoicing. Double-minded, we won't receive. See why we need to show you these things and point these things out? Now go to Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham. You're going to see again in a test and trial. In Romans chapter 4, in verse 18. Now this is the story of when Abraham was told. It's about 75 when he was told this, and it happened, he's about 100. So years have gone by, but when he was told he's going to have a baby, of course his wife was 90, it's impossible naturally, we know all that. Who against hope, believed in hope, Romans 4:18, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, okay, before we read this and look at Abraham's response, because Abraham's response was right. Imagine, you don't have a child, you're 100 years old, your wife's 90. Let's talk about the enemies of faith in this situation. Do you think what they're seeing would testify against the word? Yeah. I'm guessing that Abraham and Sarah looked different at 100 and she be a 90 than when they were high school sweethearts. I'm guessing, right? I'm guessing they're seeing some things. I'm guessing that when they're talking about having a baby, I'm guessing they're hearing things that don't line up with what God's saying. Oh, a little senile there, old man. You're going to have a baby? Okay, Abraham, you just keep believing that, sir. I imagine. Come on. Can you imagine the thoughts that would bombard them? Yeah. Do you think the thoughts, because who gives the thoughts? The enemy gives the thoughts. Fiery darts, that's what they are. Well, the devil's not going to give you thoughts of faith. He's going to give you thoughts of how it's never going to happen. Well, can you imagine the thoughts? Can you imagine the feelings they would have? I mean, I'm imagining when you're 100, you're not high jumping and hurdling and doing all sorts of things and all that. You know, imagine their bodies feeling a little different than when they were younger and, you know, feel a little more aches and pains and a little slower maybe getting out of bed than when they were a kid. You know, feelings would testify against, and surely the calendar would. Their age, how long it's been since God first said it to when it showed up, right? Everything testifying against it. But look at verse 19. Being not weak in faith. What does that mean? He wouldn't be double-minded. He wouldn't have his faith. Not being double-minded, what's that mean? Abraham don't give a rip what he sees, doesn't give a rip what he hears, doesn't give a rip what he feels, doesn't give a rip what thoughts he's having, and does not give a rip what the calendar says. That's a single-minded man. I only care about what the Father said to me. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he's about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He said, I'm not even considering my body. What my body's testifying is not the tell-all if I can have a child or not. But what does the natural say? Yeah, your body would be the tell-all, but not when God speaks up. because the Word trumps the natural. The Word, the spirit realm trumps the natural. That's why if God says you can have something, but your paycheck and the calculator says you can't, the Word trumps the natural. If the Bible says you can be healed and the doctors and the doctor's report said you can't, the Word trumps the natural every single time. And he says he neither at the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not, verse 20, at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Look at what a strong in faith person does. They rejoice. They praise. They don't grumble. They don't moan. They don't wallow around in sadness. No, they're expectant of something wonderful to come. That's what a faith person does. When you're truly in faith, you don't have to fake that, just so you know. Well, I got to get up out of bed and put on joy. You might have to do that. We call that fake it till you make it, you know, doing what you don't feel. But when you're truly step over into faith, rejoicing is automatic. Because why? The Bible says, Romans 15:13, that there's joy in believing. When you're in faith, there's joy there. What is he doing? He's giving glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm sure there's days you don't feel like doing it, but you go above your feelings. And being fully persuaded, verse 21, here it is, that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Well, when you go out, when God says you're going to have a baby with Sarah, and you go out and get Hagar, the younger woman, what are you saying? I don't believe what God's saying. I believe what I see. I believe the calendar. I believe what I feel. I believe the thoughts I'm having. I believe in what I'm hearing other people say. Like, that's what you're saying. When you laugh at what God has said, what are you saying? I don't believe what you're saying, but I do believe what I see. And you're crazy. I believe what I feel, right? That's what you're saying. But now he's saying, no, being fully persuaded in one thing and one thing only, God's Word. So what do we need to do? I'm going to give you your homework in closing here. We need to get to a place where the Word becomes our single focus above all those enemies, even as loud as they are. And can that happen? Absolutely, it can happen. Absolutely, it can happen. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not gonna lie to you. There's, you know, these boxers that go in these MMA matches, they have an opportunity for victory in that ring, but they don't get that victory by not doing anything. It doesn't just fall in their lap. What do? They have to train. They have to build themselves up. They have to be disciplined. Well, this is where a lot of people falter and fail. We want that faith, but faith, a measure of faith gets dropped on us. But if we want to grow that measure of faith, we have to do something about it. Two verses for our training. Romans 10:17. What's so great about Romans 10:17? Well, I'll back up and say it this way. Full faith is you believe God's word on it. Well, your finances might be so messed up, or your body might be so messed up that it seems like it's impossible to believe anything other than what you're feeling or seeing or hearing or all those enemies. I get it. I understand that is real. And it takes faith. Faith would be an unwavering, a full persuasion faith. And it feels like I could never get there. I could never get there. But the awesome thing about Romans 10:17, if Romans 10:17 is just done, the results will just come. Well, what's the results? Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So the results is faith. But how do you get faith? All you have to do to get the faith that you need above what you're seeing here is just keep hearing the word of God. Just keep hearing the word of God. You say, well, it hasn't come yet. Just keep hearing the word of God. He said, faith will come. The belief will come if you hear the word of God. Say, there's no way I could ever believe. I know what I'm feeling. I know what the doctor's saying. Just keep hearing the word on healing. Eventually, there's going to come a day. Something's going to pop. And I'll say, I'm the healer of the Lord. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I see. I don't care what the financial report is. I don't care what the way direction my kids have been going. I don't care how long this has been. That faith will come. How? Just do Romans 10:17. Just do the word. Just do the word. Just do the word. Hallelujah. Just do the word. Now, go with me to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It's just the Old Testament version of Romans 10:17. Joshua 1:8 is the Old Testament version of Romans 10:17. Joshua 1:8. Remember what Romans 10:17 says. Faith comes by hearing. Well, to hear the word, you have to make a conscious effort to put yourself in that position. If you fill your life up, now, if you fill your life up with such busyness that you say, well, I don't have time to do that. Well, I would say to you, I don't have time to be sick. I don't have time to be broke. I don't have time to be depressed. I don't have time to be defeated. If I need to do something to get to this place, then I have to make adjustments. See, people say, oh, it's not works-based. Once you're saved, brother and sister, it's works-based. Now, not get to be accepted by him or loved by him, but how do you get faith? You got to work something. You got to work the word. You got to work and get it in your heart. Joshua 1:8, it's all about works. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Get that word in your mouth. Start saying only what the word says. But you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe. Notice it says meditate day and night. What's that mean? A consistency around the word. Not going weeks. You're believing for healing, but you're going weeks. No. Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall you make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. What's the result? Well, Romans 10:17, the result is faith. Faith leads to victory. What's the result of this? Hearing the word, meditating on the word, being in the word. Prosperity and good success. You know, these fighters and these people training for Olympic events, you know, and they're in that battle, in that race, in that place of opposition, they're not casual about their training. Day and night they're training. Doing something, whether it's making sure they get a good night's sleep, eating the right foods, doing their different workouts, doing their different treatments, taking the right supplements. It's a constant lifestyle to what? Lead to the victory. Here we are at times facing things hell on earth that there's no natural help for. And we don't even touch the word. We go weeks not even touching the word, meditate on the word. It's like you need faith because sight never lets up. Hearing never lets up. Time never stops. The feelings can get worse, and the thoughts certainly do not stop. They never quit. And they're always trying to pull you out of any faith that you're in over into doubt and unbelief. Well, our homework now is to find out, get in the word concerning the battle we're in, and meditate on that until that is our only thing that persuades us. Abraham got there. The disciples never did in that situation, did they? Hallelujah. And that's our answer. You say, I don't know if I have time. Well, how bad do you want this? You know, I didn't use this example last year, but I've told this story so many times. I mentioned a little bit tomorrow, but when I was told, you know, starting this church in South Dayton, that I had no salary, that I was stay-at-home dad and pastor of the church, and I wasn't going to get paid till the church had enough money to stand on its own. I'll tell you what, I was scared. I was scared. My words showed it. My actions showed it. My thought, if you could get in my thought life and my meditations and my imaginations, they would have shown I was scared. I was nervous that God told me something I didn't believe what God said. My actions, my words, my attitude, my thoughts, my demeanor. It showed, it proved that I wasn't in belief. It was overwhelming to me to be $2,000 short every month. I couldn't, because sight was so loud, hearing was so loud, the feelings, the thoughts, the all of those enemies were so loud to me and persuading me, and they seemed so real, and you believe in what you see, right? You see it, you believe it. How could you not believe what you see or what you're feeling? And it was so loud to me, it was so overwhelming, and it was just kicking the snot out of me. So you know what I did? I just said, Father, I don't know how to believe for $2,000 a month. It seems so overwhelming to me. But you said that I could have faith for it. If I would just keep hearing the word, that faith would come. And so all I did was get into prosperity scriptures and listen to prosperity messages from Pastor Nancy Dufresne, Pastor Michael Lacette, Brother Hagin, and just listen to them over and over and over until one day, and the Bible calls it this, that the day dawns in your heart and that light is shed there and it's like a popping goes off. That faith is birthed. All of a sudden, you feel a shift in the spirit. It's like, no, $2,000, who cares? I'm not nervous anymore. I'm rejoicing now. I'm speaking different. My mind, my thoughts, my imaginations are different. Why? I've now entered the realm of faith. But how did I get there? Joshua 1:8, Romans 10:17. It's the only way to get there. Amen? If we could pray and lay hands on you for more faith, man, we'd do it every service. Father, give them more faith. Go right down. Give them more faith. Give them more faith. Can't do that. Nothing you can do. In fact, Jesus, when he prayed for Peter, when the devil's after him, he prayed what? Peter, I pray that the faith that you have doesn't fail. I can't pray to strengthen your faith. I can't pray for your faith to be better. I can't pray for, you know, you to have my faith. The faith that you have can't fail because it's your faith that's going to cause you to win or not. Praise God. Well, that was part one. Were you blessed?
Yes.
Amen. Next week, we'll get doubly blessed into part two. But Father, thank you so much for the word. We're just so grateful. We're exposing these things because these things are so real. They're so nasty at times. They're so real. They're so cruel. They don't let up. They don't have mercy. But Father, we need to see that it doesn't matter how nasty they are, how cruel they are, how cruel the calendar can be, how nasty thoughts can be towards us and feelings and what we hear and what we see. It doesn't matter. If you said we could have something different than what those things are testifying of, then we can have it, Father. So we thank you. Your word is so sweet. It's such an anchor to our soul. It's such a foundation to stand on in unsteady and uncertain times, Father. We cling to it like a life raft. Hallelujah. We praise you for your word. These precious messages, Father, that are taking us to the other side of the issues we're going through, the things we've dealt with, the things that have held us back, Father, we thank you that through these messages, the revealing and the exposing of the enemies, Father, will show us that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how real they are. It doesn't matter how false the word seems and how fake the word can seem and how real, it doesn't matter. If the word contradicts it, we can have the word. So we thank you, Father. We glorify and magnify you here tonight. We're just so thankful. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity to enter into this Bible kind of faith where God's, it's not our faith it's awesome. You know, we have to be in faith to get God to flow, but it's that flow of God that comes through our faith. And you have to be born again to get the promises of God. They're only available to his children through him and that supernatural help from him. And to get those promises, you first got to become a child of his. And the world will tell you that everybody's a child of God, but the Bible will tell you that only the ones that have received Jesus are. And if you're here tonight in this service and you can say, you know what, I've gone to church, I've been a good person. If you could even say, I believe in God. The devil believes in God. He's not going to sniff heaven anymore. He'll never get there. And you could be a good person, but that's not how you get in. You could be faithful to go to church. That's not how you get in. In fact, those things are all good, you know, believing in God and going to church and being a good person. They're all good things. But at times, those things can try to trick us into thinking, then we qualify for heaven. No, you don't. You qualify for heaven when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus said, if you call on my name, you'll be saved. Not if you go to church. Not if you're a good person. Not if your good deeds outweigh your bad. Not if you believe in God. I said, the devil believes in God. He'll never get to heaven. Why? Because he'll never receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. That's why he won't go to heaven. So if you're here tonight, we won't embarrass you. We won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and if you're watching online, we're including you here. Is there anybody in the service tonight you've never received Jesus? If you had a bad week, month, day, decade, you know, whatever, that's okay, just repent. But if you've never received Jesus, you want to receive him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody at all want to receive him before we close the service? Just lift your hand up. We'll have you put it right back down. Anybody? Father, I don't see any hands. I look across this room, but if there's someone in here or anybody watching online that's never received Jesus, you know my heart, Father. I pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus the Lord of their life. And Father, thank you made it simple. And if you're here or you're watching, say, I wouldn't even know how to enter into a relationship. Well, Jesus said, just call my name. Just believe on me and you'll not perish. And it sounds like this. This is what it would sound like. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're real. Maybe I don't understand everything, but I believe in you. My heart says you're real. And I believe you died and rose again. I believe that's true. Your head won't know it and your flesh might know it, but your heart will know it. You say, I believe in that, Jesus. And I ask you, come into my life. I receive you today as my Lord and my Savior. If you'll pray that and mean it, he'll come and make his abode with you. Come and live on the inside of you, the Bible says. Forgiving you, redeeming you, forgiving you of all your sins. And you'll be heaven bound, but also you'll have a Father on your side that wants to help you. And if you need help with that, you don't understand that, and you want me to pray with you, want me to walk you through that, give me a call. Come see me after service. Send me an email. Whatever it takes, we want to help you. And if you pray that for the first time, let me know and get a hold of me. We want to help you on your next step in your journey. But can we just stand to our feet and praise him tonight? And let's gear our prayers, our praise towards something specific. Let's praise him for the help of the word, that the word is our anchor, that the word is our help. Father, thank you for the word tonight. The word is a light, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It can be so dark at times, but your word is our answer. So, Father, we thank you tonight for the precious Word of God, Father, that is helps us to get to the other side. Thank you for not leaving us in the dark. Praise your holy name. We bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. I'll see you next Saturday. Love you and appreciate you. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, come on up.